I'm not the one who's so far away when I feel the snake bite and tear my veins. Never did I wanna be here again, and I don't remember why I came.
And you are tuned in to Midwest Paratalk Radio on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. Here are your hosts, Mike, Joni, and Greg. That is right, kiddios. You are hanging out with Midwest Paratalk Radio here on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. And I want to give a shout out to my co-hosts, Joni and Mike. Hey, you guys.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Man, I'm lisping and slurring like I've been out drinking all night.
That's nice.
Yeah, I know, right? So, yeah, I went to the dentist today, right? And they had to do like a deep root scaling thing, you know, and pull three teeth. So he numbs me up and she's in there digging in my mouth and it's not all the way numb yet. And she pokes this one spot and I'm like, you're killing me, Smalls. And so the doctor, I ended up with just over like 32, 34 shots today in the mouth. So, yeah, so anyway, so he numbs, and it's all on the bottom, so it feels like my bottom lip is like, I don't know, Fat Albert's buddy, mush mouth. You know what I'm saying? So it was a trip, so. Joni, are you with us?
No.
Joni, is Sir Schozer with us? Joni.
Joni. Is she on mute again?
She probably is.
What is she doing?
Hello?
Hi, Joni. How are you?
Oh, I guess I was on mute. Sorry.
Oh, my gosh. We just thought we'd call and, you know, let you know we're doing a show.
I would say, and that's a good thing.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God. That's funny.
Getting lippy there, are you?
Just a bit.
See how you are?
So, well, you know what?
Hey, has it stopped snowing where you guys are?
No.
No?
No, we got about half an inch, Michael. It started about 6 o'clock.
Oh my God!
We got like an inch and a half, or maybe two, since about 6:30.
Mm-hmm. We're supposed to have some more this weekend, but for right now it was sunny and almost kind of warm today. It was kind of eerie.
No, it absolutely sucked here.
It was like 28 degrees down here, and it was sunny. And then on the way home from work, it started to cloud up, and then it just hasn't quit snowing since. We got back up, maybe 2 inches again. So it's like 24 so far.
Nick, another week of school off. They're off now till Tuesday.
Oh, no way.
They missed the whole week. They missed the whole week after Christmas. Oh, it's awful.
Oh, you guys are going to be in school until like August.
They can only keep you so long, but it's going to be... They were supposed to be out May 20th, so forget that.
June 9th was going to be is the last day they're allowed to...
The last day they can make you stay.
Yeah. This year. After this year, as long as they want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I am so, so glad that I am not in school. You know what I mean?
I am too.
I'm just like, man, dude. Well, see, and once you got to a certain age, it was just like, you know, you want me to go to school for another how many days? Oh, you can bite me.
Oh, I got called in by senior year. Now, here's, oh my God, I have no car. So I'm like, you know what? I'm not going in the morning.
Right.
So I'd sleep till like 10:30, 11:00 and get up, go in, have study hall and like English, which I loved in band.
Uh-huh.
And you know, this went on for like 2 months and I wrote my own excuses. Mm-hmm. Well, I missed one day because I had to go to the dentist and my mom wrote my excuse. I got called to the office.
Because they didn't stay in
the room. I'm like, oops, yeah, that's how many times.
Oh,
he's
seriously.
He's like, okay, 3% off your grades, and blah, 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 blah. I'm like, oops.
Well, I couldn't get right in because my cousin, Danny, was the freaking truant officer.
Oh, gosh.
So you couldn't get away with nothing.
Nothing.
At all.
I got busted. I mean, when you turn 18, you're allowed to leave and come and go as you please if you're at your excuse.
Right.
Well, I turned 18 in April, and I only had 1 month left, so
right.
I just blew it off. It was like great excuses like Jenny did every day, but no, I got in trouble.
Well, see, my...
I didn't get in trouble in school. I got in trouble when I got home because I got the phone. Our cousin would call my mother.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I had a work excuse. I got out every day on my senior year, half day of school.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that stopped.
Man.
Because I didn't start work till 4.
Right, right.
Yeah, we did it all.
Well, you know, I had a had my senior year of high school, like my halfway through my senior year, I had 52 credits on a 32 credit curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
And I only needed English 8. So
you had 52 credits?
Yeah. So
God almighty.
I did a lot because I was bored. But
apparently.
They gave me a study hall, a thing called health and wellness, and home ec, and then my English 8. And so my English class wasn't until like 1:30 in the afternoon. So I didn't get to school until about 1:15. And the counselor calls me into his office. He's like, Greg, dude, what are you doing to me? I'm like, what do you mean? You didn't go to this class? You didn't? And then I was like, dude, the only class that I need is English 8. I'm not getting here before then, and you're not going to make me.
Yeah, that's what they you do know. To you, but then you're required to be in so many hours a year, you know,
whatever.
For nothing.
I should have just went ahead and tried to take summer school and graduate midterm. But, you know, that's just one of those things. It's neither here or there.
Well, all I needed to graduate was my government class, and that was my first period class. So after that, I didn't really have to do anything, but
be there.
You didn't have our mother. So Joni's mother.
My mother.
Yes, today.
Oh, I see. What are those days of?
Yeah.
She's gonna be my mother today. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I was stuck there till, you know, 1 o'clock when I was supposed to leave for work at 4. I had my friend Tammy who had her period every day of her life.
Yeah, she did. I told her she all had that checked out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right.
And I had to take her home every day because she had her period.
That is freaking a hoot, man.
Yeah, buddy.
Nana at lunch. So.
Yeah, I remember her.
We drive them all, get them home, and get chicken nuggets, and then get to work.
Chicken nuggets.
But we never miss school. I mean, if you signed up at the beginning of the year to be a driver, you had to be there.
Right.
They never cancel school like they do now.
No, not at all. Not at all. Not at all.
No, Evan.
Hey.
Evan's been at school since last Friday.
I know.
You're Thursday.
You guys, I just have to ask before I forget. You see that movie coming out called Shutter Island?
Yes, I have actually. It's got
pretty good.
Oh,
it has Leonardo.
Yeah, Leonardo DiCaprio, and he's some kind of reporter where he goes to this island and tries to expose him, and ends up being thrown in one of the dealios.
Yeah, it's an insane island, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's creepy looking. I know that.
It is creepy looking.
I see that.
Yep.
Definitely want to see that one.
So, what do we got coming up tonight?
What do we got coming up tonight?
Yeah, what do we got coming on?
Jessica Jones.
Miss Jessica Jewett, yes.
Right.
And I have a history on the Bachelor's Grove Cemetery.
Nice.
And that's about it.
Sweetness. So I tell you what, we're going to push this on here, and we're going to do a couple commercial little drops here, and come back with Haunted History here on Midwest Prayer Talk Radio. So you guys hang out with us, and Joni and Mike said, we've got Jessica Jewett coming on with us tonight on NPR, so we'll be right back. La, la, la. Oh, wait. Push the button, Greg. Okay.
A new way to bring the paranormal community together.
Sharing everyone's ideas and sharing ideas with everyone.
Creating a newsletter with submissions.
From all around the world.
Members of all paranormal fields.
Just like you and me.
Whether you're into ghosts and hauntings,
or an observer of UFO phenomenon,
The White Crow is for you.
The first paranormal newsletter.
For everyone.
Written by everyone.
If you have something to share,
or just want to see what's going on,
come join us in this combined effort.
The White Crow.
The paranormal newsletter.
For everyone.
Written by everyone.
Visit us on MySpace at www.myspace.com/The White Crow for everyone.
If you're interested in being part of the mailing list or just to download the newsletter for free, visit us online at www.thewhitecrow.org.
The White Crow, the first
everyone.
Hey, psst, kid, come here. You're looking for a paranormal fix, aren't you? Well, look, check it out. What you need to do, go on over to www.asprn.com. Tell them Mikey sent you. Wink twice, knock twice. When you click on it, hit the chat live. Go into the chat room. Yeah. You'll find your fix there.
Need your paranormal radio experience for the week? Looking for answers to the bumps in the night you hear? Tune in to Para Investigators Radio with Kurt and Bill every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern in Studio A of the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network to get your paranormal radio experience every week.
That's right. You guys are on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network, and I just want to give a shout out. There's going to be a new show coming up every first and third Wednesday of the month. It's called Banshees in the G-Spot, and it's KJ and Serenity Moore and myself, and we're going to pull Dear Joni in with us here sometimes, and we're just going to have call-ins and do talkings and yellings and whatever is, you know, scraping our hiney at the time. And remember, you guys always check in early here at the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. Generally, shows kick off between, you know, 7 and 8 p.m. at night. Also, you can check back during the days. Well, we'll have some music playing on the new I-103 here on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. So, yeah. So, welcome to Midwest Prayer Talk Radio, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Hello.
And I did that without breathing.
I was counting the seconds. It was like 37.
37?
Woot.
37, and he's on the Heine stuff again.
No, actually, they did not give me...
He said Heine.
Oh, the Heine.
Yeah.
Got to rub the Heine. Heine rubber.
Anyway.
Heine rubbles in my beer. Okay. No, seriously, I don't know. You know, the teeth are pulled, and he didn't give me any pink fuzzies, so I just have to, you know, make up for it myself.
I'll give him a call in the morning. What you saying?
Right. Actually, I'm feeling pretty good, so it's all good in the neighborhood.
Right. Okay, I am going to read a haunted history.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Do you want a little background music?
If you wish, that would be fine.
I gotcha.
If it's appropriate.
Midwest Paratalk Radio, haunted history.
Oh, jeez. Okay. Bachelor's Grove Cemetery is a small abandoned graveyard near Midlothian, Illinois, in a forest preserve. It was founded in the mid-1800s and hosted its first burial in November of 1844 with the interment of Elijah Scott. Back then, it was called Everdon's Cemetery. Originally settled in the early 1830s, the area saw an influx of British migrants from New England and another of German settlers in the 1840s. The Bachelor's Grove name was traced back to the original settlers, as there were many single men, as legend tells it. It is estimated that the cemetery holds 150 to 200 graves, but only 20 headstones remain. A plot map compiled in the mid-1990s by local historic societies matched up burial records and plot locations of what it was once before falling victim to vandalism and waist-high foliage. Burials after 1950 are rare. The last known body was buried in 1965, and the last burial of ashes was recorded in 1989. Many remains have been disinterred and moved over the last few decades as a result of migrating families, the need for larger plots, and the horror of relatives at the desecrated grounds. The closing of the small entrance road in the early 1960s made Bachelor's Grove the perfect spot for teenager activities and vandalism. This is also the time that ghost stories began to circulate. There are documented reports of alleged satanic worship rituals during the 1970s in which dug-up graves, animal remains, and other grisly tokens were left. A nearby pond where 19th-century families used to fish and picnic on Sundays gained the reputation of a 1920s Prohibition dumping ground for Al Capone's enemies and the legend of a passing farmer and his plow horse drowning in it around the 1870s. Bachelor's Grove is the site of over 100 different reports of paranormal phenomena, and several strange legends. For example, there is the hooked maniac that preys on lovelorn victims after he escaped from the local mental institution. There is a magic house that appears and disappears in a clearing in the woods, and mysterious glowing balls of light. There's a two-headed man, ominous dark hooded phantoms, and a man in a yellow suit who is reputed to appear and disappear in a shower of sparks. However, the most famous haunting is the apparition of the Madonna of Bachelor's Grove. Taken on August 10, 1991 by the Ghost Research Society of Chicago with high-speed infrared film, the photo of the Madonna shows a beautiful image of a lonely-looking young woman dressed in white sitting on a tombstone. She seems very melancholy as she gazes into the distance. Part of her full-body image is transparent, and she wears a dress or gown from the 1920s. Today, a section of Cook County Forest Preserve is renamed Bachelor's Grove, probably to head teenagers and vandals away from the actual cemetery. Recently, efforts to restore and maintain the cemetery has been taken over to preserve the famous era of Chicago history by many dedicated volunteers. To view or become part of this project, visit bachelorsgrove.org. Hello.
Hello.
Well,
you need at the end of
over.
The day, you need
to go,
hey, I'm done. Yeah, ditch me. Wow. Dumping grounds for Al Capone. You know,
yeah,
I got to say,
that make you happy.
The Al Capone story is still my favorite.
Are you like, I don't know, we'll ask Jessica, baby. Are you like a reincarnation of Al Capone, or what is that?
I don't know, right? No, I don't have a mean bone in my body like that.
Oh, you don't?
No, not at all. What are you trying to
okay.
say? Oh, my God. Joni is calling me a gangsta.
Oh, you didn't.
You want to sleep with the fishes? Of course, I can't do a gangster deal, so who cares, right? But Jessica Jewett-Jones is on tonight with us, so how about we get her on the line with us? What do you guys say?
Great.
Well, that would be just great.
Hey, I'm going to do that right now. Ring-a-ding-a.
Hello?
Hello, Jessica.
Hi, Jess.
Hi, Jessica.
Hi. Hi, it's Joni, and I have you're on Midwest Paratalk Live, and we have Greg and Mike.
Hi, Jessica.
Hi, how are you?
Hello.
I'm great. Cold.
Yeah, we're doing all right. How are you doing? Where are you at? Are you in Tennessee, or?
No, I don't live in Tennessee anymore. I'm living in Atlanta now.
Oh, Atlanta. Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. It's
yeah,
a lot better than the
around
Midwest.
A bit. You've lived a lot of places.
Yeah, I move around a lot.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, well, for our listeners that aren't familiar with you and your work, would you want to go ahead and give us a short synopsis of who you are and what you do?
Yeah, sure. I am an expert, I would call myself an expert in past life research. It came out of necessity, really. I didn't believe in past life, anything, reincarnation, nothing like that when I was younger. And as I got older and realized that some of my experiences from childhood were actually flashbacks from a past life of my own, then I started looking into it and realized that there were millions of people out there in the world who've had the same experiences. And so I started collecting cases for fun, and then I started doing readings on people, past life readings and that sort of thing. And mm-hmm. now I run a website, and I've written a book about my past life experiences.
Right, and you're an intuitive,
yes.
correct?
Yes.
And that has been passed down to you from your is it your maternal side of your family?
Yeah. It's from the maternal side of my family. My grandmother has it, my mother has it, and so on and so on. I've got actually letters from one of my great-great-greats, one of those numbers of grandmothers in the 1800s talking about communicating with her husband after he died. So
mm-hmm.
it goes back quite a long ways in my family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was looking. I know, I met you. Oh, my, it's probably been 2 years ago. I remember I had an issue going on with a rather strange situation, and we were just talking one day, and I'm like, do you think this has something to do with it. I know you did, like, I think 4 readings on me. And, I mean, it explained everything. It explained the thing that was going on and why there was this connection and so forth and so on. And I want to thank you for that, because that made me understand things a lot clearer than why they had been, what I had understood them.
Well, you're welcome. You know, that's the point of what I'm trying to do, is to open people's eyes a little bit more and show them that, you know, there's a little bit more going on in the world than what you can touch and what you can feel and what you can see. And there are reasons for everything, you know, and that's really my main goal, is to help people. I'm definitely not in it for the money, because if you look at my site, I'm not making very much money off of anything. And half the time I end up doing it for free because I see people who need help. And
I know.
Yeah.
So. I know. Well, now you refer to the Fanny Chamberlain incarnation as your threshold. Is that what you call it? Your threshold?
Yeah, there are a lot of different words. Usually when a person has spontaneous flashbacks, which means it's involuntary and it's triggered by things in your current life, it's the first life that comes out from your past is the one that you're most connected to, and it sort of dislodges the mental block. And once you accept that reincarnation exists after having these experiences, then you slowly start to see other lives in your history. So Fanny was the first one for me, and then slowly after that, I started remembering other ones. I've been having flashbacks since I was a toddler, but the first one was Fanny, and then the second one came when I was a few years older, and that was earlier than Fanny. And then as I got older and I started realizing what was going on, it started to come easier for me. But I fought it for so many years, because when you go through this, you don't want it to be true, because it makes you feel crazy and it makes you feel like you don't belong with people. And so I fought it for most of my life, and it took until I was about 21 to accept it.
So what type of experience or flashbacks triggered the thought of having either past lives?
The initial one was around the age of 4, maybe a little younger. I'm not sure about the exact age, because that is such a young age. My father had left, and at around that time in Fanny's lifetime, she was given up by her father to family members and adopted away. And her father took her to the new family members and then left. And when my father left, I started having dreams about being another little girl in a different body, watching my father leave and leave me with strange people.
Oh my.
And so the triggers and parallels like that usually happen for people who are, I guess you could say, open to spirituality a little more than other people.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and... Go ahead, Mike.
What type of information do you need to do a past life reading on someone?
For me, the process is pretty simple. It started coming naturally. It's interesting. When I was researching my past life, I started noticing that when I looked at other people, I could see things in my head, like a third eye, if you know what that is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a visual thing for me, but it's like experiencing a memory, but it's distinctly not my own. And sometimes when I look at people, I'll hear their voices if in their former lives. So supposing you lived in France or something like that in a former life, if I was experiencing one of your memories, I would hear you speaking French to someone else in that life. And so on. It can get really confusing and layered, and it takes years of practice to decipher all of it, really.
Right. Now, kind of an off-the-wall question that actually was brought to me, the Sandman Society of the Dead, friend of the show, and I were talking about it, that do you think it's possible that, like, individuals can have, like, previous lives as of, like, say I was a woman in a past life? Do you think that, like, it can transfer like that?
You mean switching genders and things like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. From what I have seen in my history of doing readings for people, it happens about 20% of the time over the course of a soul's existence on Earth that they switch genders. And for me personally, I believe the reason why people switch genders from time to time is because if the purpose of reincarnation is to learn every aspect of life from every point of view of life, then you would be limiting yourself if you were to stick to one gender.
Okay. Yeah, that was one of the things that, you know, my beliefs as far as reincarnation and stuff like this is that, you know, you have certain lessons that you're to learn before you're able to cross over to the other side.
That's right.
And that's kind of the perception that I have with the entire, you know, past life and stuff like that.
Some people take 3 or 4 lifetimes to learn the same lesson because, you know, if you have a really strong stubborn streak in you in life, that's something that's inherent in your soul, and you can be stubborn enough not to want to learn things. And that's why, for example, I was explaining to people earlier today that, you know, women who continually, for example, go back to abusive men, that's usually a pattern that repeats in multiple lifetimes, not just one lifetime. And until they learn to stand up and say no and stop that pattern, they will continue to fall into that pattern in multiple lifetimes. That's just an example, but that's kind of how I explain it.
Right. Now, on average, like on the readings that you do, what about, you know, how many lifetimes has gone back? I mean, how many readings have you had that you've had, like, 20 past life?
Most people, I would say, are... it's hard to say. Most people are about 1,000 or less years old. Very few people I've actually read that I would consider old, old souls, you know, going back into ancient worlds. But the ones that are old, they stick out like a sore thumb. And sometimes my schedule gets backed up 6 weeks, and I'll look through the pictures of the people I have to read, and the old ones, they stick out like a sore thumb, and I have to read them right then and there because the information is very clear for old souls because they are more open and willing to be read.
Right. Now, how do you go, you know, tell our listeners, because I read a little bit as well on how you do this, but let them know how it is actually that you do the readings.
The readings I do by email. It's easier for me that way because sometimes I'm up at midnight and it's not always conducive to call somebody at midnight and read them. I have pictures of people. They send them to me, and I'm one of those people who can read the energy off of pictures. And people like that also have the ability to touch things and get psychic impressions off of touching objects. I also have that, and if I touch people, I get information off of them too. And in general, I don't like to be touched unless I ask for it. But at that point, when I'm looking at their picture, the images come to my mind, and it comes in all forms of the senses. It comes visually, smell. It comes hearing and intuitively. And by intuitively, I mean it's facts and names and places that pop into my head that I just know. And it depends on the person, really. It comes in a lot of different ways. Sometimes souls that were with them in previous lives that are not incarnated now will come and help me out a little bit, and that's where I cross into medium territory, which I'm not that strong in, but I do that from time to time.
Okay.
Have you ever encounter somebody that's had like a, I don't want to say evil, but like a, you know, a not so nice past life, and you have to explain that to them at some point?
Yeah. Really, the fact of the matter is everybody has done something bad in their past lives. Some people do worse things than others. I have actually read people who who have been murderers and rapists and, you know, abusive, and I've had to explain those things to people. And they can be perfectly nice people now, and what happens is if you do those things, you have to do your penance, to borrow a term from Catholics, and you have to learn from those lessons, and when you come back, you know, things might happen to you to force you to learn why killing, you know, Joe Babbo down the street was wrong. And so, you know, I generally tell people that everybody has done something bad in their past lives, but it just, it depends on the degree of how bad it is. I've read one of everything, so nothing fazes me anymore.
That would be very difficult to tell someone, you know, something of that nature, especially if we're not expecting that.
Yeah, it was hard to do that at first, but I've learned how to talk to people in a way that it doesn't make it so threatening for them, and I've learned how to show people in a way that this is what you need to learn from it, more than this is what you did. It's more of, you know, teaching them what to do and teaching them how to handle these things.
Interesting, and very interesting.
Definitely. Now, it's I know you said that you do stuff late night with email and whatnot. Do you do calls during the day at all?
I used to do calls, but it's really difficult to do that kind of thing because right now I'm living with my grandmother and I sort of help take care of her. So, you know, if I get interrupted or whatever, it doesn't look very professional if I'm late for a call or if I get interrupted in a call because I have a lot of other responsibilities too. So doing email readings is the best for me.
So have you ever just been in a conversation with someone and... you know, it just comes to you. But, I mean, they may not be asking. Just a general conversation with someone you meet on the street, and you're like blown away by what you're feeling or seeing from them.
Yeah, that happens more than I would like. Actually, I have a very strong code of ethics where I try not to read people unless they ask for it. I don't like to pry into people's privacy and that kind of thing, but. There are times when I see people and things come to me and I can't stop it and I feel like I'm invading their privacy and people call me shy or quiet or unfeeling. It's just because I'm very uncomfortable sometimes. It's difficult to have this kind of sight. I'm not an expert at it. I'm still learning how to use it. And, you know, it's happened with celebrities that I've met before. You know, I can't control it and... it's just, it's difficult sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay, because I keep hitting my mute button. Okay, Jessica, I have a question from the chat room. One of the listeners wanted to know, is there any way that you can, how do I put this? Can a person, just a normal person, is there any way they can learn about what their past lives are themselves? Is there any way that they can do it themselves?
The way I did it myself was obviously sort of by accident, if you can call it an accident. But if you're wanting to learn about yourself, your higher self, yourself inside your soul, the first step I usually tell people to do is learn how to meditate. That is completely vital and necessary in any kind of self-exploration, is you have to learn how to meditate and be silent. If you don't learn how to do that, then everything else you do is a waste of time. Mm-hmm. So once you learn to meditate, then you can start asking yourself questions in the meditative state. And it's kind of like talking to yourself, but it's not exactly like that. You can ask yourself a question like, who was I in my last life? And for most people, images or information of their last lives will come to them. Mm-hmm. And it takes a lot of time to learn how to meditate properly. Some people, it can take years. Some people, it takes a couple of weeks. Some people, it takes months. It just depends on who you are. But I really strongly recommend first mastering meditation before you go anywhere else with trying to explore your own past lives.
Now what kind of tools would you recommend to try to help individuals learn to meditate?
What helped me was actually listening to recordings of someone else guiding me into the meditative state. You can get recordings like that on a lot of different websites. Mm-hmm. It's basically someone who is talking to you through your headphones and guide you into that state. So you don't have to think about guiding yourself into it. You can just listen to it. And then once you get comfortable with learning what it feels like to be in meditative state, then you don't have to use the guided tools anymore.
Right, right.
You can just do it on your own.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you have that available on your website? I mean, do you have a...
I don't now, but it actually occurred to me today that I should probably record a self-guided MP3 and give it to people. And I'm going to give it for free. I don't believe in charging for that kind of thing. So, I'm probably going to add it to my site in the next few weeks, do my own recording of how I do my meditation.
Well, you know, that's one question that comes up quite a bit. I mean, people seem to have a hard time finding the right tools to help them get to that level. And, you know, it's a question that I've asked before, and there's a question that's been posed in chat and stuff like that to different guests that we've had as well. So, yeah, that would be very helpful to individuals. Now, do you seem to have, I mean, sometimes it's harder even for, you know, psychic mediums to be able to kind of get into the reading and actually connect with the individual. I mean, do you ever have, you know, pictures sent your way by someone that's just trying to test you to see, you know, test your abilities?
I actually have had a person do that. It was one of my very first clients, probably one of my first 20, several years ago. And she was completely closed off to the entire process. She was waiting for me to screw up, basically, you know. And when you have a person like that, the person obviously doesn't understand that the reading process is not a test, for one thing. It's not a parlor trick.
Right.
A person who wants to be read has to open their energy for the person doing the reading to feel that energy. So if you put up a wall, I'm not going to be able to read the sign behind that wall.
Right.
You have to take down the wall in order for me to read it.
Mm-hmm.
So people who are resistant to it, of course I'm going to screw it up because I can't see what's behind your wall. And if I encounter someone like that, I usually tell them immediately that, I will not be able to do your reading, and I will gladly refund your money and recommend another psychic for you to try. I have a few other friends in the business and who are good, and maybe they'll work better for that person. But if I can't do the reading, I don't keep the money, because that's just not right.
Well, I know Mike had mentioned earlier, if you've ever had readings that, you know, it was just, you know, I've got to tell you, you know, you were evil in this past life, blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, have you ever had a reading that, you know, after you did your thing, you kind of sat back and went, wow, you know, that's really kind of awesome?
Yeah, I have, actually. I've had several readings where after it was done and over with, I thought, wow, that would be the best movie.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, wow, that would be the best novel. But, you know, I can't do that because that would be violating code of ethics.
Right.
Right.
Wow. Now, have you, you know, it seems like when you know, you talk to people, you know, you always hear, well, yeah, in a past life, I was this famous person, that famous person. Have you ever come across a reading where somebody actually was famous?
Yeah, I've had a few, not too many. Most of the people right now who are incarnated who've had famous past lives in the last 100 years or so, they're already aware of who they are, and they didn't need a psychic to tell them.
Right.
Because the triggers are there everywhere. That's probably one of the big reasons why I figured out I was Fanny, because of her husband, who was Joshua Lawrence Chamberlain, and he was played by Jeff Daniels in movies. So there were triggers, that kind of thing. But I have read...
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I have read a person who was President Lincoln's first love.
Mm-hmm.
And she's very shy and in the closet about who she is. But she came to me and said, you know, I think I've had some dreams that I need deciphering. And I did the reading for her. And as it turns out, she was President Lincoln's first love before Mary Todd.
Very cool.
Would you mind talking about Joshua? Because I just, you know, I know that was your gateway to life, and I just think that's a wonderful story. And that's why you're so involved in, like, Civil War and, like, restoration of things pertaining to the Civil War.
Yeah, Joshua Lawrence Chamberlain was from Maine, and he was a school teacher. He taught at Bowdoin College. He taught everything except math and science. And in the Civil War, he actually quit teaching to join the Army because he felt that it was the right thing to do to keep the Union together. It wasn't necessarily because he was an abolitionist, although he didn't believe in slavery. It really wasn't about that for him. It was really just about keeping the country together. And so he was in the Civil War, and he started as a lieutenant colonel, and by the time the war was over, he was a full general. And he was the only officer in the Army allegedly to be given a battlefield promotion by General Grant himself. And he accepted the surrender at Appomattox, appointed by General Grant to accept the surrender of the Confederate Army from General Gordon, who also is reincarnated into this life, and I know him very well.
Mm-hmm.
And he later became governor of Maine after the Civil War, and his wife was me, Fanny.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, I was born in Massachusetts and moved to Maine when I was a very small child, and married him and had 5 children, but only 2 of them survived into adulthood. And I was a musician and an artist and a teacher as well, and I lived on my own, which was really not typical of women at that time to have an independent life, but I did before I was married, which is also another reason why I'm really stubborn and independent today, and I really just don't like the idea of being married.
Mm-hmm.
So he is still very much loved up in Maine, and there are statues all over the state for him, and I've been to the house several times where we lived, and it's strange to go back to a place where you lived before, because you get bombarded by a lot of little snippets of sounds and images, and for me, I really wasn't able to listen to the tour guide half the time because, you know, I was looking at that chair over there and wondering if that chair was there because it looks familiar, or, you know, things like that. So,
right.
Yeah, well.
Now, have you ever had done a reading on someone and they've, like, been related to, like, you personally or someone else you've read, or, like, in their past life, maybe with one of their children from a past life or anything of that nature?
I have, I didn't read her necessarily, but I have a friend, a very close friend of mine, who was Fanny's son, Willis, in a past life. This is a case of switching genders.
Uh-huh.
And I actually did do a reading once on a woman, and it turns out that she was Fanny's birth mother, who gave her up for adoption.
Oh, wow.
And I tossed and turned over that reading for a week because I thought, am I reading this correctly because she looks like that person in my head, or is this actual truth? It took me a week to do that reading because I wasn't sure and I didn't want to lead her down the wrong road, but in the end it turned out to be true.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, and that brings
you've identified
up
people in your own family now that really were part of your family back then?
Yeah, it's very common for people to incarnate into soul groups. And a soul group, basically as a concept, is a group of souls that continually reincarnates together. And the souls, they switch roles from life to life. For example, siblings could be married in the next life, or best friends or enemies or any other purpose, so long as there is some lesson in it.
Mm-hmm.
Parents choose their children and children choose their parents and things like that. And my grandfather in this life was Fanny's adoptive father in that life. And in my book, I have picture comparisons and they're basically identical. They look just alike. But you can't use looks on people as total proof, because you know, we all, there are all people out there who have lookalikes out there. It doesn't mean they're reincarnated. But when you have looks on top of other evidence, then you start to wonder, is that person someone I might have known? And my brother turned out to be my brother-in-law from that life, who was Tom Chamberlain. Mm-hmm. And I have some other people in my family who I've identified, but not all of them.
Now, do you
look a lot, I guess I wouldn't even say, you do look a lot like Fanny, though.
Yeah.
I've seen the comparison picture. You look an awful lot like Fanny.
Some people say I do, but then there are other people say, oh, no, you don't look anything like her. But the thing is, people can't see past the color, the coloring, because Fanny's coloring was darker. She had very big brown eyes and very dark hair, and now I have blue eyes and I color my hair red, so, you know.
I was going to ask, have you done readings to where, like, the residual feelings and the residual energy stays with you, and does that impede, you know, or impair your sleeping? I mean, does it take you a while to release that energy back out?
For a long, long time, I had a lot of trouble with insomnia. I still struggle with insomnia. I struggle with an anxiety disorder and various other things like that. I have actually had to be medicated periodically in my life for these things. I can't necessarily say the abilities are totally what causes it, but I do think it contributes to it, because I'm also an empath, and you might know empaths absorb the feelings
right.
and the energies around them.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to be very diligent about when I'm finished with a reading, I have to step away from it, and I have to do something else, and I have to totally not think about it in order to keep myself clean, basically.
Right.
It's like it feels dirty if you hold on to that energy.
Right.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, this is interesting.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's really deep stuff. But
so, I
do have... Go ahead, Mike.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. You said you had to have something. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead first.
No, you first.
No, you. No, you.
Can you tell we're related? Anyway.
yeah, Mike's my brother, Jessica.
Oh, okay.
The, now I forget my question. Thanks. Oh, you said that you had flashbacks at early on in your life, but when did you realize that you actually had, you know, the gift that you possess?
Well, I've had different degrees of it from my whole life. I started out as a child medium, and I can remember at a very, very small age, probably before I was really forming complete sentences, of having an experience of seeing a person without legs walking down the hallway in my babysitter's house. And I've had a lot of experiences for my whole life with ghosts and things like that. So I started out as a child medium, but when I started school, like most children do, I suppressed it and ignored it. And but as I got older, I started doing tarot card readings at parties just for fun as a teenager, you know, not really thinking about it. And one night I remember really clearly doing a reading for a woman, and I told her, look, this sounds bad, and I, you know, I hesitate to tell you this, but the cards are telling me that your father molested you when you were a child.
Oh, man.
And she burst into tears.
Oh,
and I realized there's something not typical about me. And I looked at my mom, and my mom, she kind of shrugged, and she told me afterward that, you know, she has certain abilities too, and she never told me about that stuff when I was little, so it's not like I was saturated with this kind of thing. My mother purposefully kept it from me so I wouldn't start making up stories like kids are prone to do.
Right. Well, if I do have one question, because we're getting close to 11, but I did want to ask you about Jordan mm-hmm. Knight.
My what?
About Jordan Knight. Is that his name? Oh,
about
Jonathan
getting to meet
Knight?
Jordan Knight? Jonathan, okay.
Yeah.
It's a cool story.
Well, actually, I've met Jonathan Knight, like, gosh, nine times now, something like that.
Awesome, okay.
Yeah.
Are you guys in the chat room know who Jonathan Knight is?
Probably. If they're there for me, they probably know who he is.
Yeah, I got the biggest kick out of that. That was so cool.
Okay, yeah. So he's a singer in New Kids on the Block, and, you know, ha ha ha, you guys can make fun of me for liking New Kids on the Block, whatever. But
I think it's great.
Yeah, I've met him many times, and last March, you're probably referring to the Jersey blog, last March he took off his jersey on stage and jumped off the stage and brought it to me and gave it to me, but it got taken away by security because he didn't know that it was supposed to go to breast cancer auction research fundraising type of thing, and some people that I didn't even know back then actually spent a lot of money to get the jersey back for me, and he just sent it to me for my birthday. So my birthday was this past week. So yeah, that's what that blog was about. He just sent me the jersey for my birthday this past week. So
I would never make fun. I think that is just so cool. People, Jessica is 27?
28.
And I'm just in awe of what you've accomplished. I'm not being a brown noser. I'm just saying I'm in awe of what you have accomplished for your age, especially with the things you've had to overcome.
Yes.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
You're very inspirational.
Thank you.
Everybody needs to go look at her website, which is jessicajewettonline.com, and read the whole thing.
Thank you so much.
You're quite welcome.
Definitely. And, you know, we would love to have you back and talk some more and you know, all that good jazz. But for people who are interested in getting readings, they can get that off of your website, correct?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Okay, good deal.
Yeah, I might be sending you a picture because...
Yeah, I'm going to send a picture too, I think.
I've had some questions.
Okay.
Lately, so,
yeah, my readings, they start at $15. I keep it cheap. I personally don't like those psychics that charge hundreds and hundreds of dollars for an hour.
Right.
It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I
try to keep it accessible.
Yes, I know. You read, I think, four on me, and they span from, I think, 1400 or early 1500s up to New York City and the Prohibition era. So, and they were all so interesting, and they all involved the same people. And like I said before, it so explained things to me.
Wow.
In a certain situation. So I'm vouching for this. I'm vouching for Jessica. She does a good job.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Cool. Just tell them the truth, hon.
All right, then. I tell you what we'll do. We'll have Joni keep in touch with you, and we'll get you back on the air with us. I'm going to go ahead and this Friday, I'm going to send you a picture and get a reading. Maybe we can... You know, I don't mind that my business is out in the street because, you know, I generally tell everyone my business anyway.
That is so true.
Okay, enough for the peanut gallery. But maybe we can talk about the reading and what you find on air next time that we have you on.
Okay, great. That sounds
good.
Great, wonderful.
All right. Well, thank you for coming on with Midwest Paratalk Radio, and we will definitely be in touch and love to have you back on the show.
Thank you so much.
All right, you take care
now. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you soon.
Jessica Jewett-Jones here on Midwest Paratalk Radio. Wow.
She's awesome.
Yeah, she's just something else. I don't know anybody like her.
That was very, very cool. And, you know, she rocked it. And I'm definitely going to do that. I want to have a past life done. And we'll bring it on the air. And do it on the air. What do you say?
Okay, you'll be
I'll tell you what. Yeah, if you'll do that, I might... Bring mine up because it's pretty crazy.
Why not? You know,
I would like to do mine. I would definitely like to do mine.
You know, you guys know me. I'm an open book. You know, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think it would be very cool. We'll do that. I'll send her this stuff. And,
okay.
Anybody wants to go out and see Jessica's website, Joni? What is that again?
www.jessicajewettonline.com.
com.
So you guys go out, check it out.
Yeah,
like she said,
chat room too.
Yeah, she doesn't charge a whole lot, and you can go out there and past life regressions and stuff like that. But like I said, I'm gonna send her something, and we'll have her back on, and we'll talk about it online or talk about it on the show.
Cool.
Sounds
good to me.
We'll
see what
she
says about me first.
Right on. You're gonna
make
do.
Sure she's
gonna,
your eyes.
I want to see what bad things she has to say before I say anything.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what. It's a surprise. It's just like I what? I lived where? I mean, it's just. But it made so total sense to me. In just a short, I will say that I have always loved Maryland and Virginia.
Yeah.
Even before we started going to Virginia, when I started traveling south towards the Carolinas or going to Florida or whatever, always loved Virginia. So I did some research on that for my family and found out that's where my great-great-great-whatever grandfather came over in like 1702, wasn't it, Mike?
Yeah.
But anyway, here I thought, well, that, okay, maybe. Then when she did my readings, a lot of it was centered, the later ones, in Virginia and Maryland.
Really?
It just even that's a little thing. That's just one of the little things. I'm like, no wonder, because I go into Virginia and I'd be like, oh, I love it. This just looks so familiar. But you know, you don't think about that. You just know you really like somewhere. You never really think about it. But
what about in Chicago? Because I love Chicago.
Maybe you were Al Capone.
Maybe. Hey, wouldn't that be great?
Well, you know what?
Seriously, we went to Chicago last year to.
I know you love. I know you do.
Mm-hmm.
And
I know you do.
I had absolutely no trouble getting around. I mean, I knew what things were. Like, you know, she'd say, "Meet us at this restaurant." I'd be like, "Okay, what street's on?" She's like, "Tell me," and we'd be right there.
Mm-hmm.
It was, just, and I've never, you know, we've
never
went
been
one
there.
Other time, but we never really spent a whole lot of time downtown.
You know, right, and that's probably one of the things when you talk about trying to do it yourself, is that's the things you're supposed to pay attention to and maybe write down your certain feeling at a certain place, like driving through, like I would drive through and think, there's a cemetery over there, and by golly, there is. Just little stuff like that you wouldn't think about.
Well, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that one of the things that she'll say is that my states are south.
Mm-hmm.
Because I loathe the cold weather and snow. And
New
I
England
always have.
Area and, yep.
Oh, see, I love the snow and the cold weather, and I love big cities.
Freak. Cold weather.
Yeah, I'm not a big city fan, I'll tell you too much, but.
Yeah.
The mountains and the ocean.
I love big cities. I don't know why. Huh. I mean, and we never went to big cities as kids. We never
Wheeling.
Went.
To Wheeling.
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 Like New York City, we go to New York City. Used to go to New York City like every year, and I felt like I was home. I mean, I didn't feel like I was a tourist at all. It was just weird. And then Chicago, and we'll see how Vegas is. I don't know.
Oh yeah, Vegas.
Oh, going out to Vegas. Greg, you've been to Vegas, haven't you?
Oh yeah, I've been to Vegas multiple times. Love
you've
me some
Vegas.
Vegas.
What happens there stays there. Is that what it is?
What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Just like my money.
I'm taking my nickel world.
I tell you what, we had a trip. We had a trip out to Vegas one time. That really, the only thing I really needed to do was just open up the door, flip a 20 out in the hall, and close it, and go back to bed. I mean,
might as well.
You know, that's how much money I was losing, so it kind of sucked. But I mean, it was a good time because you know, Mrs. C and I were out there, and you know, we stayed downtown on the Strip. We don't stay out, you know, on the regular Strip, but we go downtown, and there's a little hotel that's on there. It's the Fitzgeralds, and they have a sitting balcony where you can sit and watch all the people go, and you can watch a light show at night. You know, we would sit there hours upon hours at a time just watching people acting stupid. But yeah, it's good times.
People watching
the MGM Grand.
Mm-hmm.
Are you?
Yeah.
The first time I went out there.
Nice.
Yeah, the first time I went out there, they had a display of The Wizard of Oz. And somebody has stole Toto. I lied. Somebody, the police were on a search for the stuffed Toto that was out on the display.
Oh my God!
You gotta be kidding!
No, seriously, it's pretty freaking funny.
Well, did you remember back here at Christmas time, someone stole the baby Jesus out of the
at Cambridge
nativity scene? Yeah, and put it on the
altar. Oh, that was horrible. That was all the news. People were just crying.
Oh, do you know there is some like religious retribution on that one?
Yeah, well, he stuck it on top of the Elvis Big Boy.
Oh my god.
You're into those Elvis big boy statues they used to have. They're like 12 foot tall, and they have them red and white checkered onesie things on. And
right.
Yes, where they stuck the baby. Elvis
Holy
big boy was holding.
Crap. People are just sick.
Oh, that was kind of funny.
Right. Yeah. All right, you guys. We are just past the top of the hour, and what we got coming up next week?
I just went totally blank. Oh, we have Audrey Hewen.
Yeah, that's right. Starborn Support Audrey
Starborn
coming
support.
On.
Starborn Support, yep.
It's going to be a good show. She's talking about UFO and abductions and stuff like that. It's going to be pretty cool.
Yes, because she is an abductee, and
she
I'm really looking forward to this.
Yeah, and it'll be awesome just like the Deb Cobble interview that we did as well. Deb was really, rocked it. And I'm a big fan, like I said earlier on Kimmy J's show. I mean, I'm just a big cryptozoology UFO fan.
Oh, that Chupacabra, yeah, that was pretty awesome.
That was a good, so that guy was pretty cool. We'll have to look at getting Nicholas Redfern on with us. And,
yeah, he knew his stuff, I'm telling
yeah,
you.
Yeah, he did, definitely. So, but yes, it has been another great show. I want to thank you guys, Mike and Joni, and our guest, Jessica Jewett Jones, has joined us tonight. And like I said, I'm gonna send her some a picture and get a reading, and then we'll do the reveal on the show. So,
okay,
coolness.
Well, I'll have to see what she says first.
I'm kind of like, okay, now what part can I say and what part should I leave out?
Yeah,
I'm gonna give it to. I'm gonna put it all out there.
Oh, I know. You're behind in everything.
I
You're
know.
Hiney.
You demand.
Rubbing the hiney.
Oh, by the way, nice new intro, by the way.
Hey, thank you.
Yeah, I've got to tell you.
Yeah, you'll like the outro, too. The outro will be coming to you guys live, new NPR outro that we worked on. If you guys also, you show hosts out there, and you're listening this to the podcast or whatnot, you want any kind of voiceover work done, you can go to gcvoiceover.com and check that out, and we'll work something up. There's a services page. Just click on there, and you can see the prices and whatnot of what I do. And also, you can go out to MidwestParatalkRadio.com. That's the show website. It's got a request and a contact and all the good show stuff that – and no, I wasn't going to say the S-bomb.
I know.
And all the good show stuff and everything. I'm going to be updating it as well. I have to put Mike's bio on there and his picture from Prospect Place, that one with the mist.
And, oh, you need that one?
Yeah, you're not using the other one. That's for sure. Thanks.
But you're going
right.
Throw up.
You're zoned. Oh well, whatever.
Right. All right, you guys. Well, let's out of beer, out of here. Let's get on out.
Okay. Good night, everybody. Thanks
good
for
night.
Listening.
Thank you guys for listening to another edition of Midwest Paratalk Radio. Remember, you can check us back live next Thursday night at 10 Eastern when we have Starborn Support Audrey on with us. We'll be talking UFOs and abductees. Remember, check in early Thursday nights as well, because at 8 o'clock we've got the Bewitching Hour with Kimmy J. And then 9 o'clock, Moonlighting with Serenity. So it's going to be a wild, paranormal-packed night. So, guys, check us out next Thursday night. Don't forget, paranormal shows coming your way all week here on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. Remember, tomorrow night, Behind the Veil with Chris Kenna is going to be on. And then also on the new I-103, that's ASPRN.com, Chris Baker and myself will be doing probably a rock and roll show tomorrow night. We didn't do one last week because of the TVs, but, I'm tired of not doing the radio shows because I miss it. But anyway, that being said, you guys have a great night. Thank you for joining us here on Midwest Paratalk Radio. We'll see you next week.
Night.
This has been another edition of Midwest Paratalk Radio, brought to you by the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. Midwest Paratalk Radio is a ParaQuest production. Remember to catch us every Thursday night at 10 Eastern here on ASPRN.com.